father of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So last week, Deshaun Watson's people, the NFLPA, and the NFL all met. And apparently they didn't meet too long because the Deshaun side said, oh, no, no, this is unacceptable. No, 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 no. A year suspension, unacceptable. Nope. We're not going for that, NFLPA. Nope, we're going to fight this thing. Look at Ben Roethlisberger. Look at Robert Kraft. Look at blah, 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 blah. Okay. All right, so the NFL said, okay, now, how's indefinite sound? Now you like 1 year? How's 1 year sound better now, or how's indefinite sound?
I don't know if that's exactly how the conversation, but it's fun, but it does play better in my mind from a narrative, like a movie. Oh, you just don't like a year? How
like
about
year?
We do this?
How's this?
Oh, year's too much? How
okay.
about this?
No, I think now.
Indefinite.
And now they can settle. Lance, that's how negotiations go.
Right.
Now they're dropping indefinite out there. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe a year does sound okay.
Yeah.
Because
you're probably, I guess that's how it works. I guess the NFL has to go back and forth. Yeah.
They are going to have to on this thing. When have you seen the NFLPA and the, and well, now it's different because the way that they're going about it, the process is different.
Right.
But when have you seen where there's negotiation on how long it's going to be?
No, I haven't. I mean, that's new. That's something new.
Yeah,
because of how it's, you know, how it's been collectively bargained. But I will say this. I mean, Deshaun is 100% going to get a year or more. But what they're talking about now with indefinite is that would be, I mean, if you are a Browns fan or a member of the Cleveland Browns right now, I do think the way that it was handled by the Browns and Watson, I think it has to play into it, John. I think the fact that they thumbed their nose to the league by going $230 million guaranteed, tucking the money away for a full year, even though I understand it was from a salary cap standpoint, it's something that happens it's happening more and more. It's part of the kick the can down the road theory of altering your salary cap so that you can be competitive. I get that. I get all that. But it's a really terrible look that you're putting the league in. And for Deshaun's team not to and the Browns not to recognize and really, I think if I were in Deshaun's corner, I would have said, hey, look, this is going to look really bad. We have to understand this is what perception is going to look like. It looks like you're embarrassing and you're getting over on the NFL. This is going to be a really tough look for us. Are we sure that we want to do it like this? Or I think from there's no contrition by Deshaun because you don't want to be too contrite because then you would lose in a civil case. But it, you know, if it went to court, but then it also never went to court, right? So it never went to court so far. 20 of the 24 have settled. And my thought, I was asking my wife about this because, you know, she's got a law degree and said, and I have to think, John, that they settled the 20 to try to take that off the table, settle as many as possible to get it off the table so that you don't have it still hanging out there because all that's going to do is give the NFL more leverage. I think they wanted to take away that potential leverage of the NFL saying, hey, you've got 24 cases pending. You know, we're going to suspend you for a long time. I think they wanted to take the 24 out of it and say, hey, we've only got four now, right?
Yeah,
just
but let's
four
not forget.
Sexual misconduct
let's not,
cases.
Let's not forget. He got rid of 20 because he settled. Right?
And he could have settled
something he
a
said
long
he would never
ago.
Do. He said, I don't want a non-disclosure agreement. He's backtracked on everything that he said. I'm
yep.
not settling, and I want a non. But I don't want
hear-
a non-disclosure. I want everything to be out there. Well, you settled, and nothing is out there.
Did you see the article yesterday from the writer in the Cleveland newspaper said that the NFL believes they have substantial information
yes.
through their own personal investigations? And I talked about this before. The NFL doesn't do it. The NFL goes deep, 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 and they're going to make they're going to draw their own conclusions. They believe they have substantial information. Evidence that warrants a substantial penalty. That's the NFL apparently. Sources inside the league told this guy they believe they have some substantial info and intel on Deshaun Watson that leads him to believe that there should be a substantial penalty.
Okay, so now, because, no buyer's remorse. Oh, no, the Browns will do it again. Would the Brown, if you're the Browns, you're sitting there right now facing a possible indefinite suspension. For sure, it's almost positive that he's going to be gone this year. You've given up three first-rounders, third, fourth, all of these things. And the PR, the hit that you're taking, the fan base that you pissed off, you're in a position this year with Deshaun Watson to possibly make a run, but you don't have him. All of these things, would they do it again?
I say yes.
Would they?
Yeah, because I this is an indefinite. This is not, unless you believe, the only thing that pulls you out of that, I think the only thing is because we're only dealing in now. You haven't dealt in 2 years yet. If in 2 years they've gone to an AFC championship game and then they're headed into their next year, it will have all been worth it. You've only dealt with the negative stuff. You haven't dealt with any football. And I understand I don't think there's going to be football for Deshaun Watson this year, but I do believe he's not getting kicked out of the league. I mean, I don't think he is going to be suspended indefinitely, and I don't think he's being banned from the league permanently. So he's going to come back. He's going to play. The only way you have buyer's remorse is if you see that he doesn't play well. Then, of course, you're like, buyer's remorse from the PR, buyer's remorse from the contract, buyer's remorse from the money. You would have all that stuff. But if Deshaun plays like I think he's going to play, I still think Cleveland believes it will have been worth what they had to deal with in the short term if he plays exactly like we think he's capable of playing, John. Because ultimately, you're talking about a fan base, and you know this, and an organization. My dad got his first shot in the NFL with Cleveland. I mean, it's a really great fan base. The problem is, I mean, they have been terrible. You think the Texans have been bad. Well, Texans have been bad. But the Browns have had such a long run of just, disappointing football.
I guess, but if I'm a Browns fan, Lance.
Oh, no, I'm not making excuses.
Listen, yeah. This is Roberto Osuna on steroids. This is like times 10. The publicity of this thing and I love the Browns and I want to root for them and I've rooted for them. And I had Brian Sipe and I had Bernie Kosar and I had, all the history of the Cleveland Browns. And now I got this. I don't know. I don't. Is it worth it? Is it really?
It's turned off. It's turned off a lot of fans. They're still. I just know
diehard fans and
it's turned off diehard fans. I know how this works, though, and so do you, John. Winning cures everything. If Deshaun Watson and the Browns win, everyone comes back eventually. They all come back. Nobody. Very few people left the Astros for good when Osuna was the pitcher, when he was poor.
No, but I felt that. I honestly didn't feel as good about my team.
You don't have to. You kept watching him. You kept buying tickets. You kept buying gear. I mean, you in the Usted form.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to be pragmatic about this. I think that I think that the Browns are going to, their fans, some of them will complain. Some of them may leave for good. People don't leave for good. I heard a great, let me see, what time is it? No, we got time. So Matt, he was on ESPN. He does, what's his name, from Kentucky Sports Radio. That's he started that years ago, and now he's on ESPN. And you've heard his voice because he sounds like he's deep south. Whenever we have this, well, I don't understand why we have. That's how he stands on ESPN. He's that guy. And his name is Matt Jones. Matt Jones from Kentucky Sports Radio. Well, he's on ESPN now, and I think he's on frequently as their fill-in sports talk host, especially on the weekend. He's good. He's really good. He had a conversation with another guy that was hosting, John, and I meant to bring this up. They said, what would it take? And this was specifically about Deshaun Watson. What would it take for you to stop following your favorite team? How bad would it have to be for you to stop? And because this guy was asking, like, what would it take for Browns fans to give up on the Browns because of Deshaun Watson? And what Matt Jones from Kentucky Sports Radio said, right, he's a Kentucky sports fan through and through, has covered it forever. He goes, honestly, I don't think there's anything that they could do. He said they had coaches I didn't like. We bitch about it. Even when they're not good, it's easy to bitch about it. But you come back. You eventually come back. You start watching on TV. He said it's easy to say I'm done with this team when they're no good. But when they're good, it's hard not to watch these teams when they're really good. And it got me to thinking, and the guy kept going, okay, what if they hired this guy? What if he said, Bobby Knight is the coach that I despise more than anything in the world. He goes, what if they hired Bobby Knight? He goes, if they hired Bobby Knight, I would be so mad at them and I would hate Bobby Knight, but I cheer Kentucky. Like, maybe that's not a great – okay, so college athletics and especially SEC sports is so deeply ingrained in that region's bodies that they can't get out of it. It's in family after family after family. You don't just exit that. That's not going to happen. I think some NFL franchises, not the Texans, because this is a transient organization, fan base. You can get in and out, and it's not going to be that hard. Browns is a little deeper now. There's a lot of history there. It runs a lot deeper. I think there's a lot of fans who are, you know, in college, I think it runs as deep as you can get. In baseball, Yankees, Red Sox, there's some organizations, it runs deep, deep, deep. Browns, it runs deep. The point that they were making was, as they just continue to talk through this, was, you know what? There may not be anything that can pull you off of a team.
Who would you hire that you would say I'm not watching anymore?
I don't think there's something like that.
How about
for me.
Trevor Bauer? The Astros get
Trevor
Bauer.
If they signed him, I mean, realistically, no. I keep watching.
How about Urban Meyer?
I'm gonna keep watching.
How about John Gruden?
Yeah, I'm keep watching. You know, I'm not gonna stop watching my team. Look, it's results-based. You know when I stop watching or when I would? I mean, we do a sports talk show. You know what I don't care anymore? When they suck. It's the truth. Winning does cure everything. When they suck, you may feel dirty about it, but I kept watching them during the Osuna stuff. I kept watching it. Now, maybe if you had a video, things would be different. You know what I mean? There was no Osuna video. Maybe if you had a video.
Yeah, Ray stuff, Rice, if they right after he punched his wife, how would that go down for you?
Well, you could boo Ray Rice and still love your team. Here's what you do. You say, John, you have people.
It didn't hurt Joe Mixon
and the
Bengals.
You have people who have no problem with Michael Jackson, with Chris Brown. Chris Brown beat up Rihanna.
Yeah, I have a problem with that. I'm not going to buy tickets for him.
I didn't say you. I didn't say you, and you don't care about Chris Brown anyway. No. But there are Chris Brown fans, and there are plenty who didn't like him. And then the argument you make, and I understand it. I'm not saying this is not the argument. A lot of people say, I can separate the person from their art. Meaning, what they're basically saying is, I don't want to give up the music. Sorry, I want to keep listening. But that also means winning. And that's kind of, in a way, winning cures everything, right? If you tell me, I don't respect what Chris Brown did. I mean, he beat up a woman, okay? There's pictures, there's videos. She said it. And yet, he's allowed to just walk around in the R&B space. It's kind of crazy, but it's the way it is. And we see it in sports. But what I'm telling you is they're still fans of an individual, even after all that stuff, all the Michael Jackson stuff. We know all that's, I don't think there's anything, you know, we see it politically. Donald Trump once said he could go into a town square, shoot somebody in the face and his followers wouldn't care. I can't remember the exact quote. I'll get it. And you knew at the time he was kind of right.
Yep.
You knew at the time he was kind of right, and you know for sure right now he's right. Well, if you want to expand it into sports, I think if you're really, really real about it, I don't think there's anything Astros fans, they weren't. Did you know an Astros fan that said, well, that's it? Other than Allison Futter, did you know an Astros fan, though, that said, oh, this Osuna thing disgusts me. I'm not following this really good team again.
I honestly didn't like it. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776 is the number. If you've got any thoughts on anything that we've been talking about so far, you're more than welcome to do that. But first, Lance, you need to talk about insurance.
All you have to do is text the word money to 232323. I've never, like, this is as easy as I can make it. You guys are going to be on your phone for much of the day today anyway. You get text messages all the time. You send text messages all the time. Why don't you text the word money to 232323? Go up into the two, you know, portion of the text. Type the numbers 232323 together, three in a row, or three sets in a row, 232323. Then in the, you know, for the body of your text, just write money. That's all you do. You hit send. Boom, automatic text will come back and say, what's your address? You send it in, boom, within 15 seconds, you got another text back, and it'll say, this is the amount of money that we can get for you, or the, this is the price that we found for you, competitive price from A-rated insurance companies for your homeowner's insurance. How easy is that? It would take you an hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours to shop five, six, seven A-rated insurance companies by yourself. With TGS, they can do it in a matter of seconds because of their algorithms they have on the back end, and they are able to find the best rates possible for you. Competitive rates are how you save money, and they can save on average about $900 annually when you switch over. So switch today, or at least find out what the competitive rate looks like for you by texting the word money to 232323.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, I hadn't seen this article sent. How about this? Now, this is where the Browns could win, and you'd have to ask yourself, if he gets 10 games, do the Browns want him to get 10 games? Or a full season? Well, if he's suspended for a full season, his entire contract pushes a year back. So they'll still get the 5 years out of him. They'll still get him at $1 million when he starts playing again. That will not be. He won't immediately shoot to 46. If he's suspended the full year, then he is the entire contract gets pushed back.
Oh,
So he won't be a free agent again.
The league suspended him 16 games.
Yeah. So the league... So he wouldn't be a free agent in 27. He'd be a free agent in 28.
Well, no, Deshaun would probably not mind. Well, the money is going to be the same for Deshaun. He got the signing bonus.
The money doesn't change.
Deshaun would probably rather it be 16 games. The Browns would rather it be 17.
Well, yeah. No, it'll be 17. It won't be 16.
No, that's a joke. So is there anything? Here's the question. Is there anything that could pull, if you're a Longhorn, an Aggie, a Sooner, a Texan, Astros, Rockets fan, somebody who's hardcore, is there anything that could legitimately make you stop cheering for your team? I'm not talking about losing or being bad or, I don't know, John, does Bill O'Brien, I mean, that's about the closest I can think of to feeling like you don't want to cheer or watch a team anymore.
No, I didn't want to cheer for him with Bill O'Brien. I didn't, because he's such an a-hole.
And they did, and it's not just because they were bad. They actually won divisions, and we felt like that.
Yeah. No, I did not like the team.
All right, 713-780-3776. Let's get Keith in here. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. How's it going? This show is usual. I can't remember the guy's last name, but the Wheelhouse had this guy named Chris on there. He's one of the Fox Sports hosts or something like that.
Chris Rose, probably. I bet it's Chris Rose.
And he said... Yes, Chris Rose, and he said, this went over my eyes to make me kind of forget everything and put everything to the side about cheering. He said, if a restaurant is good and you don't know the owner and you don't know the owner's views and their political stance and all that, but the food is still good, you're still going to go. It's the same thing. You may not agree with what everything is going on, but if that's your team, that's your team. I mean, you're going to still root for them. And ever since I heard that, I'm like, okay, everything else isn't going to matter because I'm only rooting for the team. I'm not rooting for the person. And but y'all have a good show.
I appreciate it.
No. That's been, you might not agree with everything Chick-fil-A says, especially if you're not religious.
Dell for that.
Like, Dell's like,
I ain't giving up the chicken sandwich. See, Dell doesn't care. Dell doesn't have that.
But now he found the
compass.
Whataburger chicken sandwich, and so he's like, I ain't going, you know what? I found something better, so I ain't doing that. That's what he says. Anyway, I don't know. He's a chicken sandwich connoisseur. We can't even compete in that ballpark. R. Kelly, you going to see him?
No. I didn't really care about R. Kelly that much.
No, but if you were a fan, could it have turned you off to him? Absolutely.
No, that's one that, but R. Kelly still has this. And then you have people who say he's disgusting and All right, if you still listen to the music, does that make you? I mean, Michael Jackson stuff.
No.
I grew up when I, as a kid, listening to Michael Jackson. It comes on. I don't turn the channel like, oh, I'm turning the channel. Should I? Maybe I should. I don't know that that makes a difference. He is dead, and I'm not sure I'm making a difference by turning the channel. So, you know, but I recognize I'm not a conspiracy theory. I think, yes, there's a lot here. There's a lot here to unpack.
Yep.
I'm not.
Brother Bear said, full disclosure, R. Kelly's music was fire, but my wife stopped listening after the children thing.
Yeah. That's where we draw the line. I respect it.
Yeah.
I respect it a lot.
I almost stopped cheering for the Texans shortly after they announced the name would be Texans in red, white, and blue unis.
That was the very start.
If the Aggies hired Jack Easterby as the athletic director, then I would melt down my ring. Yeah, I heard some more stuff this weekend. Oh, gosh. You know what?
How come you never say that's good? Like, you never say, I heard some really good stuff about the Texans. When's the last time? Oh, man, I got to tell you some great stuff. I heard some really good stuff about how things are working behind the scenes.
No one ever. Yeah, no.
I was thinking about this. So I had lunch with a friend of mine, and we were talking about it. And I said, you know, it's not supposed to look like this for the Texans. I don't think they even know, because it's been such a screwed up organization for so long. I don't think they even know that this is not what a family unit is supposed to look like. It really can be so much more fluid where everyone's on the same page. You always have people, there's people who work in that building now who are in charge of certain things that are really kind of nasty, angry people. You know who, but kind of meanish people. You have people who are looking out for themselves, playing politics. It really doesn't have to be like that. I know a lot of people think that it's always going to be like that. I don't think it's like that with the Astros. I don't think it has to be like that for a professional football team. I know it does, and I know three organizations that don't work that way. And when you trust each other and you respect each other, typically you're on the same page. And I think that if I go back to Kubiak was there, and then he brought in Rick. Okay, I think they were all on the same page. I think everyone was fighting towards the same common goal. Then at some point, it's my understanding that Rick kind of wrestled power away from Gary to an extent, and then it got a little bit, you know, it kind of got a little contentious. And that kind of stuff can happen between GM and head coach. And then Gary was out and Rick was there. When then Rick and OB, it was water and oil? Yeah. So they didn't mix. And then it was Brian Gain and OB, but then Jack Easterby came in and they were immediately, you know, plotting against Gain. And then it was Easterby and Jack versus everybody in the building. And then it was Easterby and Jack. I mean, Easterby and Bill O'Brien had their issues. And like, guys, this just isn't how it's supposed to work. So the fact is, you're telling me you're hearing more things that you don't like. How long is this going to go on? I would think that grownups like Nick Caserio and Lovey, I feel like they're really close to having a building where you know, it's supposed to look like.
That's funny. And yet it was thrust upon them as opposed to, you know, well put together and thought out and all of this, because Lovey was thrust upon him because of the Flores thing. And yet, you know what? It may work out just perfectly, because here's the deal too, is look at Nick Caserio now has somebody that he has to answer to, as opposed to if it was, when it was last year with Coach. The coach did everything that Nick Caserio said, right? And this is how we're going to do it, and that's how we're going to do it, and this is it. Lovey can shoot back and go, nah, no. This is the way I do it. This is how I'm going to – and these are the kind of guys that I want, as opposed to just totally Nick Caserio being the czar over there and the dictator over there. And you know what? That's probably a good thing. Actually, it worked out perfect, because – if they would have got, what's his name, the former quarterback that they were going to hire that had no experience?
Oh, Josh McCown.
Josh McCown. If it was Josh McCown, it'd be just like, yes, sir. Well, Jack. Jack would be in his office all day long with his feet up on the desk going, hey, we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to do, yeah, okay. That sounds great, Jack. That's going to be awesome. Hey, Nick, what do you, yeah. Every, No, Nick's got somebody to answer to now. Because as I understand it a little bit, Lovey's pushing his weight around a little bit.
Yeah, Lovey knew that, you guys are going to use me as your safety blanket after you're going to hire Josh McCown. But they were going to hire Josh McCown because of the Brian Flores. This is exactly what I found out from two different sources. Josh McCown was going to be the guy. Because of the Brian Flores contract, they had to shut it down. And that so Josh was out, and they told Josh, you're out. And they went to Lovey. Remember, Lovey didn't even have an interview, which we knew was very suspicious for Lovey not to have an interview. That's not how it works. Lovey was like, oh, I guess I'm one of the candidates now. So Lovey gets hired, which is fine. This is, he's a two-time NFL head coach. Lovey is a guy who's been to a Super Bowl. Like, I'm good with Lovey. I'm fine with Lovey. So once Lovey got put in, though, he recognized, okay, I'm the black guy that's going to kind of save y'all's asses because you were going to hire a guy once again, back-to-back, with no head coaching experience at all. Actually, I'm sorry. I screwed that up, guys. I'm sorry. No coaching experience at all. Zero coaching experience at all was going to be your next head coach, and I'm supposed to save you? Lovey just played it like a G. Lovey just came in and said, here's what we're going to do. Since I'm the new head coach, you guys wanted me so badly, you made me head coach without me even interviewing. Here's what I'm going to do. This, 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 and this. And I think Lovey's got some juice now. Lovey's got juice. I'm interested to see how it plays out.
And that's a good thing, as opposed to just...
It's a good thing until you find out who Lovey drafted when he was in Chicago.
Now Nick probably didn't give him that.
Yeah, hopefully Nick still has 100%.
No, Nick said, no, this is how we're going to do this. But football on the field, Casario coaching, I don't know. We'll see in training camp if, Camp Casario, if he's out there with the safeties, shifting hips and doing all kinds of stuff. We'll see. We'll see if Casario's out there doing that, or if Lovey's like, hey, you're the GM. Be the GM, okay? And let me do the coaching. I've got my coaches here. We're good. You know who's good is Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. Hey, I'm Jeff Aronoff. And Jeff Aronoff is awesome at what he does. Jeff Aronoff is going to come to your home. I'm looking at it. I'm telling you, when you come... Jeff Aronoff is a big fan of the Golden Nugget, by the way. I don't know if you know that. The Lake Charles Golden Nugget, he's a big fan. I'm in the Las Vegas Golden Nugget, and I'm going to tell you, all the everything that looks, it's so awesome. All of the marble, all of the granite, when it looks new, when it looks wonderful, when it's rock hard, when it's just pure, just gorgeous, it makes a huge, huge difference. And that's what it's going to be in your home. That's when it's going to be at your business. When Jeff Aronoff comes in there, he puts that marble, he puts that granite, he puts those new cabinets, he puts those new countertops, he puts those new flooring, the walls, everything that you need to make it look better. The vanities, the bathtubs. The bathtubs will make a bathroom look so much nicer, and Jeff Aronoff can make it look as nice as you possibly want. What you have to do, it's so simple. Go to, just give them a call, 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Tell them you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio. The preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You got to read this article in the New York Post today.
It's terrific.
It is. And John Hyman, I don't know. I know he was on the Astros before, but he's come to, and I don't know, finally come to his senses. I don't know if that's the case. But he wrote an article, and he mentions Reggie Jackson's in an elevator, and he's loving Jose Altuve. And Reggie Jackson tells him, Jose Altuve didn't want the trash can. He didn't want it. He didn't take him. He didn't want it. Okay? And he said, oh, well, what about the buzzer? Okay. He says this. One, it's believable Altuve would hit a big homer. He has 23 postseason homers, 5 more than Mr. October himself. And Mr. October is Reggie Jackson, for those of you who don't know. Two, it's certainly believable Chapman would allow a big home run. And number three, this is the big one. It's completely unbelievable that someone claiming to be Carlos Beltran's niece of all the fake people on Twitter, she, he may take the prize, would have broken this story, as the phony Beltran relative, by definition, is even less honest than the real Beltran. Let's not forget, the Astros have three people on their employ from the 2017 cheaters. Beltran, Marwin Gonzalez, and Cameron Maben are all employed by the Yankees right now. It's so stupid.
I don't even count Maben, other than him getting everyone free tacos for that stolen base in the World Series.
And making the thing I remember most is he made a business decision on that pop-up to left field.
Yeah, where he's like, I'm not
dying. Yeah, for who, for what.
Yep.
So I finally, somebody's trying to come to their senses. But you know what? Just like Astros fans when they were booing Carlos Beltran, I always went, what is wrong? What people? He went and took money from the Mets. Drayton wasn't giving him that money. Yes, he used the Astros. No, that happens all the time, by the way. And secondly, Drayton came up with the offer after he had already accepted the Mets offer. People behind the scenes told me, Drayton wasn't paying him $100 million. There was no chance. He said, after it was all over, Drayton went, I offered $100 million. Yeah, I would have taken him $100 million. Yeah, I would have. No, you wouldn't have. So Astros fans are all hating Carlos Beltran because he didn't want to stay here. He wanted to go to New York. Really? And so you hate him and you boo him every time he's up? The dude played his ass off for you for half a summer. He was great.
Now he helped to taint the 2017 World Series. Thanks, Carlos. Boo!
No, now you boo him. Now I understand booing him. He's the one that started. He's the one that put you in this position. He's the one that screwed the entire organization, ruined the reputation of the organization. I tweeted Jeff Luno. I'm hoping he comes on. You see, he's a part owner of Leganés. It's a Spanish second division soccer team.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get him on the show, but I don't think he's going to come on. I don't know. But Jeff Luno is the one who's taking – Jeff Luno should be working in baseball. Jeff Luno
– I don't know if he wants to right now.
I don't either, and that's what I wanted. That's one thing I wanted to ask him. He did have a chance to go to the Mets, but they decided that, you know, the Mets were in – they had all that garbage that was flying around them, you know, for a little while with the front office and everything else. They just couldn't. They just couldn't do it. It was like a Josh McCown situation. We just can't do this. We'd love to have you. Listen, Jeff Luno should be working for an organization. Jeff Luno put together – it's Jeff Luno is the biggest reason – that this organization is where it is for 100%. 5 years, being the best team in baseball. It's all Jeff Luno.
Jeff Luno, I know there's some trades, like Carlos Gomez. I mean, he's made some trades that weren't the Hader trade. Well, Hader trade was part of the Go-Go trade. But I know that Jeff didn't do everything right and perfect, and I think he got a little scary when it came time to pull the trigger on some deals. You know, most famously, the owner had to step in and basically demand the Justin Verlander deal. But Jeff Luno, his ability, I remember going to a luncheon with him, John. We were, when I was at 790, we all, you know, it was the home of the Astros. We all went to a luncheon with some, I guess it was 13, with Luno and all the guys who had come in with the Astros, 13 or 14. And so we were, it was 13, I think. So we were all there having lunch with them and talking some baseball, but, you know, no one really cared about the Astros, the top players. You had Jose Altuve and a bunch of nobodies, basically. And talking to him, boy, you really got a sense of he knew what he needed to do. Looking back at it in hindsight, the conversation, you couldn't see it if you're on the outside because you have no idea what he's even going to work with. And a lot of the best players had not even been drafted. But you look at how he handled the first draft with Carlos. He went with Carlos Correa, who he loved, but he also understood there was going to be a slight discount from the standpoint of an initial payout to Carlos so that he had enough money to slot in Lance McCullers Jr., who would be a little bit more expensive. So he actually understood what he was doing right off the bat. He was making intelligent financial decisions so that he could get the right players in place. They did a great job of evaluating. Alex Bregman is another example of a guy that they just killed it with. Of course, he missed with Mark Appel. It was cool to see Mark Appel after 9 years this weekend was called up to the bigs. By the way, I don't know if you saw that.
I saw
he got a call.
Well, that's what that was the tweet by Jeff Luneau, and I tweeted him back in Spanish, and I said, "Men and nuestro programa," and he didn't answer me. So,
what if he said back to you, goes, "I don't speak Spanish"?
He does. Speak Spanish.
You're lying. You're fluent in Spanish. You grew up in Mexico City, Jeff.
You grew up in Mexico.
Stop lying to us.
No, he wouldn't lie about that.
But no, I'm with you, man. I have all the respect. I think Spencer does too. Let's get Spencer in here real quick. I know you want to talk about leaving fan base to Spencer, but I also know you're a big Astros fan, and I think you have a lot of respect for Jeff Luneau as well. What's up, Spencer?
Jeff Luneau thing. Yeah, so on the Jeff Luneau thing, I mean, he has suffered more than anybody else because of the trash can scandal, and he was probably the least culpable of anybody. I mean, it's truly unbelievable. And, you know, for Beltran, I mean, I just can't stand Beltran. For him to give that preseason interview, you know, bitching and whining, saying, well, the front office didn't tell us not to. I mean, it's just such a joke. And so I'm not sure what happened with Luneau. I mean, my guess is that, you know, there was always some stuff behind the scenes about how he was a little prickly to work with, and the Taubman stuff and the Osuna stuff. I mean, you know, but other than that, I genuinely don't understand why he's not a GM of a Major League Baseball team. I mean, he deserved a ring for this last season. He built the team that's out there right now. And you look at these young pitchers. There was an old tweet by him where he was Fayetteville, I think. And Luis Garcia was pitching. And he was like, I'm up here in Arkansas watching young new pitchers come. And you're like, you look at this team and you look how they built this. And he's simply the best. So,
anyway, well, and look at the international, and I think, thanks for the call, Spencer. John, how about the international? They focused on this. They spotlighted this yesterday. The signing, basically the signing, the cost, it was a $100,000 signing bonus for Jose Urquidy coming from Mexico. But I think Fromber was $10,000. Luis Garcia was $10,000 to $12,000. And Christian Javier was cheap. Like, look at those four pitchers. So, now, how many of those were Luneau signings? Were they all Luneau's?
Yes.
Yeah, they were all Luneau's, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they had to
So
be.
You know how this works, too. Like, over a certain amount of time, I think it's over like a two-year or three-year period, you only get so much money
right to
sign international players. So what Jeff Luneau did was he waited. Everybody, and they spent their money. Now he goes out there because there's plenty of players all over the place. When nobody's got any money left, he goes, oh, look at that. Look at that Fromber. I can get him for $10,000 because nobody else can spend any money. Here, Fromber, come with us. You got $10,000. Here, Urquidy. Here, Garcia. Paredes. All of these guys. By the way, Paredes is brought back up. Belak is down. Kenny Van Doren wanted to make sure I knew that this morning. Climbing Tails Hill. All of these guys, you only get so much to spend. And Jeff Luneau, hold. Yeah, go spend your money on the guys. Oh, look at that guy over there that everybody wants. And they're done. It's a bidding war. And now you bid it up, and it costs you a ton. Jeff Luneau just waited, and then spent his money in so much better than everybody else. That's the kind of leader, that's the kind of intelligent way to go about these things. Listen, this organization, he put this whole thing together from scratch. After Uncle Drayton left, it was a disaster. They inherited a disaster, and he had a systematic plan. If you haven't read the Astros book by, what's the name of it? The guy who predicted. Yeah, the guy who predicted in SI that they would be the 2017 champs.
Yeah, Ben Ryder's book. I know what you're talking
it's
about.
It's so good. It is so good and tells you behind the scenes
stuff. Clutch City.
No, that's not it.
Oh, okay.
I forget what the name of it is.
Love your blue. Love your orange.
It's not it. It's baseball time in Houston, it might be.
No, it's not.
That would have been
a baller-ass book right there. I'm being honest with you.
Anyway, so I'm shocked that dude. If I'm a general manager, the initial press conference. You guys cheated.
Astro ball.
Okay, Astro ball. you guys cheated. Yeah, we cheated. I really didn't know that much. Honestly, I didn't know that much. But, yeah, we cheated. Yep, did it. And I spent my, yep, I did it. Yep, okay. And then, wow, just the smartest guy ever in baseball. One of the smartest guys ever in baseball. And I can't believe he's not working. Yeah, I'm going to tell you this about that second division Spanish team that he bought.
Oh, he'll
break.
They'll probably be in first division before you know it.
And maybe in a few years they'll be winning it all. That's if Jeff Luhnow is involved in it, that's what's going to happen with him. All right, 713-780-3776, the number if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How about a little kinetics?
Well, when we come back, I'm going to tell you about Lance McCullers Jr. because there's some good news. There appears to be some good news afoot with two Astros starters. And, you know, one of those guys have had some injury issues, and I guarantee he's seeking out the best treatment. Are you seeking out the best treatment for your injuries, your chronic injuries, your chronic pain in your lower back, your hip, your knee? I know for a lot of you, you've been thinking about, or maybe you've even already received steroid shots. Maybe you're thinking about surgeries. That's going to lead to drugs, downtime. And then, of course, with the steroid shots, that's going to lead to the reduced inflammation, which will help you in the short term. But eventually, over time, it's going to really begin to fade, and it's always going to just be the Band-Aid. It's never going to fix it and correct it. QC Kinetics, right here in Houston, they have medical professionals who are ready to help resolve your issues with medicine that is considered the type of medicine is considered restorative and regenerative. And what we're talking about with QC Kinetics is an ability to take growth properties in your own body. They're highly concentrated. They're put back into the joints, and it starts to repair and restore and regrow damaged tissue. And this eliminates or reduces drastically pain, can eliminate pain for some people, can help you with getting your mobility and your activity level back up. So you don't have to just live with the drugs and the downtime and the surgeries. Why don't you try QC Kinetics? Athletes have done it for years. You should as well. They're right here in Houston, and it's the hottest type of biological therapies that you're going to find in 2022. QC Kinetics. Give them a call, 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285. You deserve to give yourself the best opportunity to heal and to be at your best. And I strongly suggest if you're dealing with chronic pain, you call my friends over at QC Kinetics, 713-913-5285.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Yeah, there's a couple of Michael Schwab and Dustin. Both are talking about the scouting departments that Jeff Luhnow totally disbanded, practically disbanded. Hey, it worked. They got the best players. They made some mistakes. Obviously, everybody makes some mistakes. But how are you gonna? If I know a bunch of scouts lost their jobs. Listen, I talked to scouts. I know some scouts. I know a scout really, really well, and he was like so poo pooing the Astros back in 15 and 16. Oh, look at him. Look at him now. Well,
oh, you were talking about one of the old school scouts. Yeah, but they also, there's a lot of people who were gone from there after the success of 17. Like over the last 5 years, or really from 17 to 20, John, there were a lot of people fired or gotten rid of during that time frame too, I think is what they're probably talking about.
Well, they relied more and more on data and their way, and you can't argue with the success that they had in finding the guys. I mean, this team is made up of all.
He's talented.
There's a couple touches of James Click, but this team is all about Jeff Luhnow.
But do you think also that, like, we're a couple years removed from it, but there was a talk about, and I love Luhnow, the baseball guy. I don't know all the stuff behind the scenes, but I do trust some of the people who follow the Astros and cover them that, you know, there may have been some toxicity in there.
Yeah.
and some things that weren't great to deal with. I mean, Reed Ryan got whacked.
Well, that wasn't a Jeff Luhnow thing.
I know that wasn't a Jeff Luhnow move. Well, yeah, that's a good point. That's an organizational thing. But I don't know that Luhnow was maybe always the easiest to get along with for some of the guys. I don't know. I mean, I know that there was more turnover than I would have expected.
Yeah.
Let me put it that way.
No. Yeah, guys left. No question. He made it. Hey, listen, it's a win at all costs. And that was the problem. That was where. And now maybe he's learned from that, too. Let's not forget that. But it's not just win at all costs. There are people involved. The Roberto Osuna decision, the Taubman, the toxicity. We all learn. That was Jeff Luhnow's first ever job as a general manager. He wasn't perfect, no means.
But I'm
going to tell you this. I don't know. He and the Myers from Golden State, I don't know that there are better evaluators of talent in sports.
Oh, man, that's strong. I don't know. I mean, Jeff had like three really good trades. Three really good drafts. I'll give you that. I don't know that I'm ready to put him in the Bob Myers.
No, don't forget category. All of the Dominican. Don't forget all the players he picked up.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. And once again, I don't know if that's Jeff Luhnow who's at the point of all of those. That could also be someone in your international scouting department that's pulling the triggers, because those are not high-end guys. Those are lower level. Like,
there's
a lot of guys that we don't ever hear about that you give your $10,000 and they go away. That's probably not Luhnow's. A lot of those guys probably weren't his.
Fair,
ball.
Fair. No question. All right, 713-780-3776.
We've got a caller if you want who wants to talk Astros.
Go ahead.
Okay, his name is Gilbert. Gilbert, how are you? I think he's French. Gilbert?
Oh, pretty good.
Oh, no, it's Gilbert.
Oh,
yeah. Okay.
Oh.
Gilbert, how are you?
Pretty good. How you going, Dad? Where you at right now?
I'm in Las Vegas at the Golden Nugget. You want to come meet me here?
What are you doing over there in Las Vegas for?
Well, I came to play poker in the World Series of Poker.
You go to a football game Sunday?
I don't know about the football. I didn't know there was one. What football game?
Well, Texans are 4-0, isn't that good? That good stuff start anyway, you know.
What? What, Gilbert?
The Texans are 4-0 anyway.
The Texans are Texans 4-0?
They're 4-0.
Yeah.
Hold on. Now, what exactly? Say it again.
Love you, feel a good coach anyway, you know. I get the team done anyway, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Good team anyway.
I don't know if I'm excited about Lovey. I'm just excited about competent football.
Gilbert must have dreamt that they've won their first four games.
Yeah, the first four game regular season anyway. Do you see the game? No, you don't get that channel anyway on the
I don't get that channel that you're watching. I don't get the channel you're watching.
I am a little concerned about where this conversation is going. You're asking if we've seen the first. Are you talking about the the USFL, Gilbert?
No. I'm talking about the Astros. I'm talking about the Astros. They should have won that game yesterday anyway.
So the Astros should be 4-0. That's what he's saying, John. The Astros should have been
4-0. Oh, I thought he was a Texan. Yeah, it's a football game.
Yeah, the Astros should have been 4-0, 100%.
Anyway,
I like being in Las Vegas, John.
Pardon me?
How long are you in Vegas, John?
I'm coming back right after the show. But Gilbert,
you give me a Las Vegas cap.
Wendy's not home. So
No. Did you hear him? He wants a Las Vegas cap.
I can't because we're leaving as soon as the show ends, and I got to catch a flight.
Will you be back in the studio tomorrow?
I'll be back in the studio tomorrow. God willing. God willing.
Hey, you want to hear a joke?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
You hear about that Aggie went to the Warrior Clinic?
Aggie went to where?
The Warrior Clinic. If Aggie went to the Warrior Clinic.
Oh,
and there's the male Aggie say that he went to the Warrior Clinic. They said, sir, this is for a award for women anyway. And the Aggie said, I'm transvestite.
I can't with Gilbert today. I can't, John. You can just take the segment off. That's fine. It's 8:57 anyway, so you don't even have to. Now is when I'm glad Dell's not here. I'm glad he's not here.
Dell would be low.
Dell would. Dell's not here.
That would be the Dell's favorite joke ever.
Jeez, Gilbert just threw a fastball under my chin. I didn't know the show was Mike Trout and Gilbert was the Mariners. I didn't know he was going to throw at our heads with his joke. Hey, you want to hear a joke? I know my answer next time. No, not on the radio. I don't.
He it was.
Yeah, I'm about to go high and tight.
He went to a, what kind of clinic was
abortion
it?
Abortion clinic.
An abortion clinic.
Gilbert threw everything. He threw as hard as he could at our heads.
Why is he picking on the Aggies?
Gilbert went after Gilbert. Oh my gosh, Gilbert went after the Aggies. He said transvestite. He went abortion clinic.
Abortion clinic.
I don't think you could come up with a joke to make more people hostile at you.
And the Aggies are the ones that caught it.
Oh, I thought it would be something super simple. Gilbert's like, oh, you know, you want to hear a joke? He's never said that in 25 years.
No.
Never. Do you want to hear a joke? Absolutely, was my comment.
Gilbert,
and I'm thinking, what's coming here? This is going to be the old, what kind of old joke? We're going to get a Thibodeau? No, we won't get a Thibodeau Boudreaux joke. And something about a P-Row, maybe. We're going to do something like that. Nutria, you catch Nutria with Nutria Sweet? Like, what are we going to get here? Oh, no. Gilbert's throwing something from the joke book that can't be read anymore.
Oh my God, that is so good. Gilbert hit all of them, hit all the bases.
You do need to say,
now people love it now. Charles Altuve.
Can you, RJ,
save that Gilbert laugh at the end?
You save the laugh. You need to cut that and put it in whatever. You need to start developing folders with sound bites from the show. That's one that needs to be in your folder, 100%.
You guys missed the Texans' first four games? Oh, you don't have that channel? Okay.
He must have just said Texans accidentally, because he did say Texans.
More Gilbert trans jokes, please.
No.
Laugh my ass off. Gilbert is the best.
Let us keep collecting.
Save that Gilbert laugh at the end. Classic Gilbert. Love it. Gilbert with an abortion joke. Fire.
Not
fire. Laughing
not
emoji.
Fire. Don't get Gilbert hyped on.
Lamont says only Gilbert can get away with that.
Pretty
That's
much.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Pretty much. If you could isolate that laugh by the time we come back, like during the break, I don't know if you could do that, RG. I don't know how
That's
it works.
Awesome.
That'd be great. Let's break it right here. It's 9 o'clock. When we come back.
What about the Lance McCullers story?
When we come back, we got to get to. Yeah, Gilbert disrupted our Lance McCullers story. But Jake Odorizzi and Lance McCullers, there is new information, and we will bring it to you at about 9:03. But first, John's going to probably tell you about something.
I'm not going to tell you about anything. I'm just going to tell you we're going to break and we'll be back.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.